from the South Point studio. The perfect blend of sports.
But I think the Niners are going to wear him down.
Detroit Pistons lost their 36 games.
Comedy.
See over under on that relationship lasting. I'm going to put mayo in the coffee.
Yes. I am beautiful.
And a whole lot of Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. Yeah.
Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh. Join Ryan McCormick.
That's at least two picks outside of our own in the first round next year.
Oreo.
And host Frank Nicotero.
I look at the clock, I go, ah! Ah!
Oh! Watch Punchlines live at noon every weekday.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Who is there for heroes or the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The Foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The Foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year, dozens of golf outings, and the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids in kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
Live from the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning.
Alrighty, good morning everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program for this Wednesday. Yeah, we just took a day off. We were here, of course, Memorial Day Monday, and what a day of racing that was. We'll get into a recap of Monday's racing, especially at Santa Anita, in just a moment. But we welcome you to the show as we crank up for another week of racing, covering the great sport of kings Las Vegas style right here from Las Vegas, your gaming capital. At the South Point Studios and the South Point Studios Network streaming at YouTube. And, of course, all of our other platforms as well, our radio stations locally here in town, Sports Talk 1400 AM, 107.1 FM, and, of course, our podcasting. And then we have our websites, racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas.world, .global. You can hear us there. And certainly your apps for your devices, your iPhones, Androids. Of course, get the KSHP app if you want to listen to us, and, of course, the YouTube app if you want to listen and see us on the South Point Studios streaming network at YouTube. We welcome you. We crank up another week of racing. That is for sure as we move into the summertime now. This is getting to be really feeling like summertime, especially here in Las Vegas. Right now, at a little bit after 7 a.m. Pacific time, it is 78 degrees. We're going to get to 100. We are peeking through the hundreds now. 101, they say, we're going to top off today. And it's going to be a little bit over 100 degrees topping off in Las Vegas for the rest of the week, and the sun will be shining, and it's a beautiful day out. A little breeze out there, that's for sure. In reflecting back to Memorial Day, I just want to recognize, thank for all of the volunteers on Monday, Memorial Day, in the Southern Nevada Veterans Memorial Cemetery. These volunteers put an American flag at each gravesite in the memorial cemetery we have here in Southern Nevada. And 34,100 graves got a flag, each one there, on 79 acres of this great Veterans Memorial Cemetery on Monday. And I want to thank them on behalf of Race Day and America for doing that. It was just a great thing to happen on Memorial Day Monday. Our town was packed. We had about 350,000 people enjoying the three-day holiday here. And for the most part, the racing was pretty good across the country. But I got to tell you, Santa Anita, wow, man, you talk about racing at Santa Anita was at its peak, I think, on Monday, Memorial Day. Certainly a far departure from what we've been seeing out there at Santa Anita. They had 11 races. They had three grade one stakes races in a row, the last three races, with grade one fields. These were great fields of horses, just like a Breeders' Cup field would be. And the eight earlier races before those three stakes races were loaded with horses, competitive horses, and big fields. And when I tell you it produced some really knockout winners, it did. So taking a look at what happened on Monday before we start embarking on, of course, this week's action around the country. You started out with an 1180 winner in the first race. Okay. Then a 560 winner in the second race. Kent DeSormo finally got a win out at Santa Anita. It's been a long time, but he won the second race on the favorite Come On Man, who got up through the stretch. A lot of stretch runners won on Monday on the main track. It was not as speed favoring as it had been. Come On Man gets up to wins, pace 560. Then you had a nice $16 winner in the third race, a $20 winner in the fourth race, and then it started in the fifth race. In the fifth race, Princess Midnight got a perfect ride from Jose Valdivia, making his way on the inside of the 6.5 furlong turf race through the stretch, and won and prevailed and paid $96. $96. The favorite in the race, and not a sinner, finished second. And for those of you who were purchasing Jonathan Hardoon's sheets on Monday, you, of course, noticed that this horse, this $96 winner, was his second selection in that race. The first selection was the horse that ran second as the favorite. So he had a $96 horse that capped off the early pick five. Now, you heard of all of the payoffs in the first four races and a $96 capper. The pick five for 50 cents at Santa Anita on Monday. Santa Anita, $118,873.55. What a bing. All right, then it started out the sixth race. Another long shot, 36-20. Seventh race, how about this? Higher than the sixth race, 41-40. These are the first two races in the pick six on Monday at Santa Anita. And then came the eighth race, a race that a lot of people were looking forward to, because in this race, Eagle's Flight, half-brother to the great Flight Line, made his debut under Flavian Pratt, was bet from the get-go. They the six furlong race at the start, Eagle's Flight did not break very well, certainly was lack of the early speed. He was sitting about fourth and fifth on the inside. He broke from post two on the inside. And I think Flavian Pratt made a strategic decision early part of the race, about the first eighth of a mile, by not rushing this horse into a speed duel. He rushed him up enough to get behind the speed duel, and he waited, and he waited. As the race progressed around the far turn, the horse dropped back a little. Then Pratt got him to a position where he can start making a move, and he made his move at the top of the stretch, collared the leaders, and one going away under wraps under Flavian Pratt, and everybody already started thinking about good old brother Flightline. Now you got Eagles Flight, a solid authoritative win in his debut, ran the six furlongs in 110.07, and now the rumors and now the all of the conversations and buildup will start with Eagles Flight, a popular winner in the eighth race yesterday, I should say Monday at Santa Anita. Then we got to the three grade ones. The Gamely handicap at a mile and one-eighth on the turf for fillies and mares 3 years old and up was the ninth race on the card. And in this race, the winner, laying a little bit closer to the pace than usual, this stretch runner, Anazette, got there under Umberto Rispoli for Leonard Powell, paid $7.60 there, outrunning Olivia Miralda, who had ran a big race, Olivia Miralda did, by finishing second. Forever After All was third. The early pace setter, Ruby Nell, gave it up at the top of the stretch and finished off the board. Anazette wins the Gamely at 760. Then came the Grade 1 Hollywood Gold Cup at a mile and a quarter on the main track for the older set, three-year-olds and up. And the winner there was Mr. Fisk, who sat right behind the leaders as well. Mr. Fisk got the job done. Kazuchi Kimura aboard the Bob Baffert trainee. Mr. Fisk paid $7 even. And he beat his entry mate, Reincarnate, who was on the lead most of the way in the race. Judge Miller finished third there. On the pull-up, however, Mr. Fisk never got to the winner's circle to take the winner's circle picture because on the pull-up, jockey Kimura dismounted the horse, and the horse was taken away for precautionary measures in the race ambulance. He was walking fine, etc., but Kimura came back and said he felt a little off when he was pulling him up, and as a precautionary measure, they took Mr. Fisk right to the receiving barn and then had him examined. He was pulled up and did not make the winner's circle. The rest of the crew did, though. Baffert runs 1-2 with Mr. Fisk and Reincarnate, Judge Miller third, and Mr. Fisk got a 101 buyer figure in that Hollywood Gold Cup. It was Bob Baffert's 10th Hollywood Gold Cup victory. And then in the final race, the 11th race, the Shoemaker Mile, a grade one at a mile on the turf for three-year-olds and up. The winner there was the pick on the show for John Lendo. Johannes wins it. Johannes in a big effort for Tim Yachtin. Umberto Rispoli gets his second win of the day. Both grade one wins for Rispoli, winning the Gamely and the Shoemaker Mile, both on the turf. Johannes got a 101 buyer figure as well, paying 640 to win, outrunning Fantastic again, who ran a huge race under Frankie Dettori. DeJour finished third in that one. And the final pick five paid $1,355. The pick six that started out with the 36 and a $41 horse, the pick six paid $91,482.50. And what a day it was at Santa Anita on Memorial Day, that's for sure. A little bit for everybody, quite certain for sure. By the way, Antonio Freisu had three wins. Doug O'Neill had a couple of wins on the card as well. And as I said, Kent DeSormo finally got a win, a long time coming for Kent DeSormo at Santa Anita. Big day on Monday. Well, on Monday at Aqueduct, at Belmont at Aqueduct, it started out crazy. In the first race, the winner was War Tax, $6.90. However, the race for two-year-old maidens was scheduled at 5.5 furlongs. They put the starting gate at the 5-furlong marker, and nobody caught it. After the race, they had to do some, as Ricky Ricardo would say, splaining on that one. And we'll leave that for the soapbox for Mr. Jonathan Hardoon in just a moment. The Wonder Again Stakes on Monday at Aqueduct was won by Suggesta with Ired Ortiz Jr. for Chad Brown. $10 even there, outrunning Cy B and Vive Bevu, who finished third in the race. It got really, really bad at Belmont at Aqueduct. After the fourth race, the rains came, there was a weather delay, they sealed the track, it became sloppy, etc. You know the deal there. And so for the rest of the day, the horses were just running through the slop. Linda Rice and Jose Lascano, that team is really is getting to be potent there at Belmont at Aqueduct. They had two wins together at Belmont at Aqueduct, 1260 and 880 respectively in the races there. Jerry Jackett's selection there at Belmont at Aqueduct was scratched, so no harm, no foul there on the pick on Monday. Churchill Downs, the winning colors, won by Clearly Unhinged with Joel Rosario aboard for Steve Asmussen. That was the second Rosario Asmussen win on the day in the feature, paying $6 even, outrunning Dazzling Blue and Unsung Melody. And at Pimlico on closing day, you remember that they had that big carryover in the pick six, but it was closing day and a mandatory payoff at Pimlico on Memorial Day Monday. The winners in the pick six, $7 even, $3.60, $8 even, $20.60, $3.40, and $18.80. The pick six paid $2,974.72 with the carryover Monday. It all went out the door on Monday. Well, that's what happened Monday, and now we get started with what's coming up this weekend. And it's going to start early because on Friday they got a great, great racing card at Penn National. Penn National will have six stakes races there, and the big jockeys are going in there, Flavian Pratt, Jose Javier Castellano, etc. They're all going to show up at Penn National on Friday night. Friday, six stakes races that will be highlighted by the $400,000 Grade 3 Penn Mile. Go over that field in just a bit. And as far as racing on the weekend itself, Saturday, there will be six graded stakes races at Churchill Downs, four Grade 3s there. At Evangeline Downs, there'll be six stakes races. It's the Louisiana Legends Night for Louisiana Breds there. The Jersey Derby will be held at Monmouth Park on Saturday. Santa Anita will check in with a Grade 2 and a Grade 3. There'll be four stakes races at Woodbine, three Grade 3s, one Grade 2. And on Sunday, Churchill Downs will come back with a Grade 3 and another stakes race at Monmouth at Santa Anita. So we are just embarking on another great week of racing. And we're still looking ahead now to the Belmont Stakes. As you know, Aqueduct, Belmont at Aqueduct closed on Monday. The next time we see racing in New York will be on Thursday, June 6th. There will be Thursday, June 6th, no racing in New York for that period of time. And all I can say is there's a lot of controversy over the pick six that Monday that they carried over. There's a pick six carryover from Monday at the Aqueduct into the first day of racing at Saratoga, which will be, again, on June 6th, Thursday, June 6th. And I'm sure that Mr. Hardoon is loaded for bear with the soapbox. So we're going to go to our first break. When we come back, we're going to give you your racing menu for today. And then off with Jonathan on a rather large soapbox this week. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Looking at the weather around the country, it looks pretty good across the country. There's a lot of action going on, though, in Texas and Arkansas. They're just having a terrible time with tornadoes and all that. Our thoughts go out to these people with some bad weather in there. Up and down the Pacific Coast, clear. For the most part, the Gulf Coast is clear, and so is the East Coast right now. But as I say, and no racing at Aqueduct, at least on the East Coast. But there is some racing, so let's get started. We're taking a look at the menu of racetracks available today in the racebook, simulcast centers, and racetracks around the country. Reminding you, as we all do, that the first post times we broadcast on this menu each and every day reflect that of the Pacific time zone. The Pacific time zone first post times If you're listening anywhere else on the different platforms that we have streaming around the country, well, don't forget that the first post times are Pacific, so adjust to the Pacific time zone no matter what time zone you're in. We don't want you to miss anything like I miss Mom and Dad, okay? Here's the menu of racetracks available today. We begin with Belterra Park. Belterra Park's first post time is 9:15. 9:15 at Belterra Park today. I do believe they have a small carryover there. They do. Super High 5 carryover, $5,676. May not be too small there, that's for sure. Belterra Park carryover, Super High 5, regular Super High 5, $5,676. Next comes Delaware Park. Delaware Park has a first post time of 9:30. 9:30 at Delaware Park today. Following that, we have racing at Parks Racing. Now, Parks Racing, of course, has that Pick 5 jackpot carryover, $175,984, $175,984, their carryover in their Pick 5 jackpot. First post time is at 9:40. Following that, we go to Finger Lakes in upstate New York. Finger Lakes, first post time is at 10:15. Following that, we got Horseshoe Indianapolis. Horseshoe Indianapolis has a first post time of 11:10, and they have a Super High 5 carryover there of $3,156. First post time, 11:10 at Horseshoe Indianapolis. Following that, we go to Presque Isle Downs. Presque Isle Downs has a first post time today of 12 high noon. 12 noon is post time there. And Louisiana Downs has seven races today. Louisiana Downs, their first post time at Louisiana Downs is set at 2:05 at Louisiana Downs today. Pick 6 jackpot carryover there, $31,995, and a first post time of 2:05 at Louisiana Downs. Following that, we go to Penn National. Penn National, of course, a big day coming up on Friday. Penn National's first post time today is 2:45. 2:45 today at Penn National. And their first post time again, 2:45. And then we wrap it up with Evangeline Downs. Evangeline Downs has 9 races and a first post time of 3:30. 3:30 Evangeline Downs today. All right, that's the menu of racetracks available today. And now we bring in Mr. Jonathan Hardoon. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
You seem nice and calm right now, Jonathan.
It's the calm before the storm, Ralph.
Okay. Here's the subject matter that we're going to cover, and then we'll do it race by race. First of all, on Monday, the starting gate in the wrong position in the first race at 5 furlongs. Also, because of the bad weather and all the stuff that happened suddenly on Monday at Belmont at Aqueduct, what you call a pick six debacle, where they have a carryover in the pick six and that now goes to Saratoga on June 6th. They did pay off at Aqueduct in the pick six. It paid $407, but that's because they made the two races that were encompassed in the pick six once the rain started and they moved to the main track and all. And there's some discussion about that. Then there was a horrendous non-disqualification at Sunday at Monmouth Park. There was an inquiry, but no DQ in the ninth race there. New York Racing Association is bending to a lot of complaints by owners. We understand now that they're going to honor the owner's license, their license tag at the gates at Saratoga for entry into the racetrack without paying for it on Thursday the 6th and on Sunday the 9th. But they're still wanting them to pay on Friday and Saturday, of course, is Belmont Stakes Day. So we'll wait and talk about that. And I would like to get your thoughts on Flightline's brother's big win at Santa Anita. And all in all, I think that there's enough for you to go ahead and stand on your soapbox and get to it.
All right. Well, let's begin with the opener at Aqueduct that the starting gate was in the wrong spot. I'm going to disagree with a lot of people that are complaining about it because I don't think it was that big a deal, Ralph. You're dealing with all two-year-olds, all first-time starters. No one's ever run before. So if you were even betting the race, did it really matter if the race was 5.5 or 5 furlongs? Let's be honest. If you're betting the race, you're betting it because you like a horse. The 5 furlongs, the 5.5 furlongs makes no difference at all. However, if you want to make a stink about it and go crazy, and, you know, I like to pick my fights where I think it's important. I don't think that that was an important thing. But for people that thought it was important, I guess they had a right to get a refund. And it should have been just declared a non-betting event and make it an all and pay the owners, you know, where their horse is finished. As far as that's concerned, maybe you would have made everybody happy. Maybe not. People that picked the winner obviously would have been pissed off. I mean, now you're making an all race. Mm-hmm. So I don't really have the right answer. But somebody should be responsible. I mean, that's a horrible mistake, and it's right in front of you, and everybody saw it. So, you know, I don't have the answer for that.
Well, I will say, I will say this, that they seem to be hanging the responsibility on the steward, Braulio Baeza, so he's going to be called on the carpet for that. But all of the people, all of the officials, all the other stewards, all of the people that should know something, especially the racing office who cards these races, nobody noticed that this starting gate was at
the front. How about if you had a horse in the race? How about if you had a horse in the race and you entered him for five and a half rounds and they run that fight?
You think you go and ask, hey, isn't this race a five and a half round? I mean, everybody was kind of like duped, I guess. I don't know. All right, the second one, so the carryover, pick six carryover to Saratoga.
Yeah, so the problem was they had a carryover going in, so people sent in their money. And after they ran the first race, obviously the rains came and they took it off the grass, two races, which made them all races, which made those big tickets really have a problem in trying to get their investment back. People went crazy. They knew the rain was coming. It was 100% chance of rain. You know, I don't know. They were just really unlucky. It just held off till the pick six started, and right after, prior to the next race, the rains came and they were forced to take them off the grass. They tried to do the right thing. They moved the carryover to a week from tomorrow, which will be opening day at Saratoga.
Right.
And listen, they were just, it was just really unlucky for Naira, to be honest with you. And I'm not apologizing for Naira, and I'm not taking their side. But, you know, they knew the rain was coming. Everybody knew the rain was coming. This happened at Santa Anita a few months back, if you remember, the exact same situation.
Yep.
Santa Anita did the same thing. I think they either seeded the pick six the next time they ran, or maybe they moved the carryover. I don't know. But it was a similar situation. And, you know, sometimes you deal with Mother Nature. It's out of your control and there's nothing you could do. That this was unfortunately one of those cases, and they tried to, you know, do the best they can. They split the baby in half. They gave you another carryover come next Thursday, and they paid out, you know, the other day at Naira. So it is what it is. And again, that's just bad luck for Naira, and things happen, and sometimes you got to accept it.
Well, talk about bad luck, and it is exactly what people were left to think after the ninth race on Sunday at Monmouth Park, when there was an infringement. And the end of the race, it was a photo finish. A nose separated the two horses in the inquiry. But after looking at the head-on and everything, everybody thought, you know, with just a nose difference, this guy's got to come down, but didn't.
This was one of the worst calls I've ever seen, Ralph. I know it was just a regular race on a Sunday afternoon. It was an allowance race. But if there ever was a horse that should come down, I urge everybody, if you had no interest in the race or whatever, just go watch the replay of the third race, of the ninth race, I'm sorry, on Sunday at Monmouth, and you tell me how that horse doesn't come down. You tell me how it's possible. I mean, the horse was absolutely hip-checked at the top of the stretch. He lost by less than a nose. Believe me, that's how close it was. And they say it didn't cost the horse a position. That's crazier than the Derby. That's how bad that call was.
Okay. Well, I think that was clear. What about New York bending to the owners for half of the four-day meet? You can get in, as you do everywhere else, with your owner's license. But on the two big days that you really might want to be there, you got to pay.
It's just petty. It's ridiculous. Shame on them. Really shame on them. What do they think? What are they going to get? 20,000 owners show up and all of a sudden want to come in on those days? That's ridiculous. It makes no sense. It's petty. It's more Naira nonsense.
Well, now, I do sit there and I thought of one thing of maybe why they did this, okay? And as you know, Seize the Gray, who won the Preakness at Pimlico, is owned by the My Horse Group.
2,700 people.
2,700 people. So, and he's expected to run in the Belmont, which is on Friday. Now, I'm thinking that
right.
New York Racing
is... On Saturday.
So I'm thinking, and we got to check and see if My Horse is running any horses on Friday as well, because this might be, something that, aligns with this. But I'm thinking that maybe they thought, 2,700 owners, if, like you said, maybe 1,500 of them show up at Saratoga with their owner's license, maybe they don't want to give them all those passes. I don't know, but I'm just thinking that's a stupid rationale as well. But, I put it out there anyhow.
But you would want them to come
yeah,
to
sure.
the track. You would not want them. Let me just say one thing. Guess how many of those 2,700 owners showed up at the Preakness? 300,
yep.
Ralph. 300
yep.
out of the 2,700 were at Pimlico for that day. So what are they going to get? 500 people come to Saratoga? So what? Guess what? They have a horse running. They're going to get in anyway. So they're allowed in on those days.
Yeah.
So it makes no sense. It's just petty.
And here's another thing, too. The thing about this is that most of the owners that are in groups like that are horse players. So they're going to come out, and they're not just going to sit there and watch their horse run. They're going to be betting all day. Isn't that what we want?
That's why gouging players on days like this is the worst thing in the world. You're supposed to let people in for free. Get 100,000 people to the racetrack. Show people what it used to be like coming to the races. You don't have that anymore. And to charge people $200 or whatever it is to get in is ridiculous and criminal. You want a crowd at the track. You don't want people, not only that, they're only going to bet the money they're spending to get in anyway. It's
yeah.
more money that would go through the windows.
Yeah,
it's just like,
charging for the admission and all that stuff. Do they think they're going to put that money in their sock and walk out with it?
$20.
Yeah, come on. Now, when you talk about what racing, what it used to be, that was pretty well close Monday at Santa Anita. I mean, the place was hopping. It was vibrant. Great racing, et cetera. And all I can say is that, the eighth race, amongst all of the other races, the eighth race had a lot of interest in it in racing because the Great Flight Line's half-brother was running in the race. Got bet down right away. And a lot of people thought, we know all about the breeding, but sometimes it's Jimmy and Billy Carter type of thing. So we didn't know for sure. So this horse was professional. Flavian Pratt did not panic when he didn't come out and vie for the lead, etc. He finished off the field very well and won in hand. And now the conversation starts, doesn't it?
Well, that's what you want. Listen, he's had another relative to Flightline that came out and didn't run all that well. It didn't run well at all, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. This horse was bet from the get-go. And by the way, we were plugging Monday's card as soon as the entries came out.
You and John, yeah.
We knew that it was going to be a card for the ages.
Yep.
And it's really a shame that they don't have more cards like that. Unfortunately, Friday, you go look at the entries, they're back to normal 5- and 6-horse fields. Where they got all those horses on Monday was amazing. They should have more cards like that. And it reminded people of what it used to be like.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, that's for sure, on Monday. Watching it at the book and people just enjoying themselves on TV and all that stuff. And it was a good blend of everything. Super long shots,
right,
big payoffs.
Get a little something for everyone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it was, for the most part, it was great racing. I mean, I didn't see any instances in any of the races that would lend me to think, why didn't they do this or that? It was just great. It was just good racing. Great racing, that's for sure. Congratulations.
From the first race to the last, by the way, Ralph, from the first race to the last race, the only misfortune was, unfortunately, Mr. Fisk or whatever, the Baffert horse, pulled up, I guess. Kimura was being as cautious as possible.
Yes.
The horse will be fine, but
yeah.
You know, it's strange when you have a winner's circle in a stake race without the horse in the winner's circle. But what are you going to do?
Yeah, well, they just said, look, Mr. Fisk had an appointment. He's a little busy right now, but go ahead and take
the They could have had a fill-in.
Yeah.
Could have brought a horse from the next race. Just put him in the winner's
circle. Just stick him in the winner's circle. That's
for
sure.
The difference.
Well, it was a great day of racing, and now we are going to look forward to, although we have to wait a week and a half or so, but we are looking forward to that four-day meet up at Saratoga and, of course, the Belmont Stakes. Right now, it looks like the Daily Racing Form is reporting that they think there's as many as 13 that are looking towards the race. They think it's going to be a little less. Right now, what we have on our list is Sierra Leone, Honor Marie, Mystic Dan, Fierceness, Seize the Gray, and then you have the Peter Pan winner, Antiquarian, and, of course, Door Knock, and some new shooters in Batten Down, Mind Frame, and Protective. We'll wait and see where they land. But I got to tell you, you got the Derby winner there. You got the Preakness winner there. You got the horse that was just a nose away from the Derby there with Sierra Leone. Anna Marie that had, five-star excuses in the Kentucky Derby with the start that he got slammed around, etc. And some new promising horses that if they go in there, it's going to be a great mix for the Belmont Stakes, I think.
Yeah, we were saying all along this was going to be a terrific race, and you didn't even mention a horse named Muth. I don't know. Is Baffert coming, not coming? Was there a decision made yet?
I think that the last time they discussed Muth with Baffert, he was looking towards maybe the Haskell, et cetera. But yeah. You never know. I mean, you know, with the Bob Baffert, if the horse is training well, et cetera, he might have one good workout and say, get him on the van and go to New York. So we don't know about that
yet. Yeah, I mean, imagine if he's in the race, it'll only add to it. So even if they have 12 horses, you can make a legitimate shot for at least five horses. It's going to be a great race, Ralph. It's going to be the best race out of the Triple Crown races. And what's really interesting is this year it's a mile and a quarter. So usually at a mile and a half, some horses will stay away and they won't run, because how many times in their career are they ever going to go a mile and a half?
Right.
You know, so the fact that they cut it back to a mile and a quarter only is going to add more depth to this race. And again, I think it's going to be a terrific betting race, and it's going to be a four-day festival. You know, if the weather stays clear, and hopefully it does, because that's going to be the key. They got like five turf races every day, so you don't want to have to deal with the weather. So if the weather is clear, it's going to be a weekend to remember. It really is. Despite all the other nonsense, the racing itself will be great.
No question about that. That's for sure. And it's right in your backyard, so we'll get you to give us some reports on all the activities going on at Saratoga. Racetracks that are running today are not racetracks that you do, so I guess we'll do a pass on a pick, right?
No horsies today, Ralph.
No horsies.
Tomorrow.
A lot of soapbox, but no horsies today. Okay, that's fine. And I will give you a congratulations on that one race at Santa Anita. Princess Midnight paid $96. You had second on your sheet, on your pick sheet there, so good stuff.
It only takes one good race, and you can, you know, make plenty of money if you do the right thing and hit it the right way.
That's right. And, you know, all I can say is there's people screaming at the TV set right now saying, well, why didn't you give that out? You know, so in any case, you know, you give out some of the races. By the way, on Monday at Lone Star Park, they had great stakes races there. And, you know, Mike Smith went out there and won the Texas Derby. He won.
The Doug O'Neill horse won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But before that, he won on a Safi Joseph Jr. horse that paid $260 in the spare win there. And then the Texas Derby, he went, O'Neill sent out, EJ won the cup, and he did. He won the race under Mike Smith, paid $6 there. And another, horse, Mike Maker had a winner there in the Ouija board distaff. Dana's Beauty at 1440 with Ramon Vasquez. So it was a big day of racing there at Lone Star. Unfortunately.
Time out, Ralph. It was a big day of racing there, but guess what?
Yeah.
Nobody could watch the races. No one could bet on the races because Texas, you know, they put themselves on an island because they want to have nothing to do with HISA.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they didn't do the game any favors by not letting any people watch or see those races or bet on them for that matter.
I totally agree with you, and I was just about to say, although those were nice races to have, nobody could bet them, so...
see him. You couldn't bet on him. What was the point?
Except,
they might as well run him in China.
Except for the people. Except for the people in the Lone Star State, they could have bet the race, and I'm sure they had a great crowd out there at Lone Star. Anyhow, that's that. I know that now you can, don't check your blood pressure right now. Wait about an hour and then check it again. Okay, Jonathan? But good conversation all. And now we move ahead for this week. A lot of great racing coming up this weekend, including starting on Friday with the big races at Penn National and the big Penn Mile. That's going to be a good race.
Yeah, it's a Friday night. They have a lot of stakes on that night. I remember it last year. Yeah. And again, you know, you have all the big shots coming in, and hopefully it's a good night of racing. We'll go over some of those races on Friday, Ralph. I'll have them for you.
That's what I was going to ask, and thank you very much. Now you can go have your second cup of coffee and, you know, wind down now. We will talk to you tomorrow, Jonathan. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Ralph. Stay safe and be well.
All right. We will be right back, and after this break, we're going to have Rich Eng, of course, John Lindo, and Jerry J for a thought or two as we move through starting out another week of racing. Certainly covering the great sport of Kings, Las Vegas style. We'll be right back.
Who is there for heroes or the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The Foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The Foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year, dozens of golf outings, and the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids in kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, t.org.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB port to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Back on Race Day Las Vegas, a couple other quick notes as far as jockeys are concerned. On Monday, jockey Scott Spieth was the 39th North American rider to ever hit 5,000 career wins. He did it at Presque Isle Downs. And by the way, Mr. Spieth is 57 years old. So congratulations to him on that milestone. And as far as the wrap-up at Pimlico, Jamie Rodriguez was the winner of the jockey standings there in that short meet with 12 wins. And Brittany Russell, top trainer there, third straight title in this meet for Brittany Russell. She had 8 wins on the abbreviated small short race meet there. So congratulations to them. All right, let's go out to Rich Eng standing by. Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rafi.
Well, it was an exciting day, Memorial Day Monday, for horse racing at Santa Anita, that's for sure, and some good basketball, and I understand that the Celtics wrapped it up in 4 games, huh, for their side?
Yeah, the playoffs continue for both the NHL and the NBA. The Celtics swept the Indiana Pacers 4-0. Mm-hmm. Last night, Minnesota broke through with a victory against Dallas in Dallas, so now they trail 3-1. Game 5 will be tomorrow night in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And in the National Hockey League, the Rangers and the Carolina Hurricanes are tied 2 apiece. Another overtime game, this one won by Carolina last night. And in a series that I'm also interested in is the Dallas Stars at Edmonton. Mm-hmm. Dallas leads 2-1. Game 4 will be in Edmonton tonight.
Okay. And as far as your observations on Monday, in horse racing, Santa Anita was a pleasure to watch. Like the old days, huh?
Yeah, it was good to see big fields. There was a lot of chaos early in the card, big pick five. And I feel bad for the folks who own the Mr. Fisk, you know, to win to break through and win a big race like that and then not make it back to the winner's circle. The horse suffered a condylar fracture, and he's most likely done, Ralph. But you know, a great performance. And we'll see how the kin of Flightline continues. Now that he got the maiden special weight win, we'll see what happens the rest of his career.
Yeah, no question about that. Well, Richie, I know that you don't have a sheet today because Santa Anita is not running, but you, I think, rooted out a pick for us today.
Yeah, last week had five winners on the radio. Let's see if we can start a fresh week with another winner. Let's go to race number eight at Presque Isle Downs. I had sent in a pick originally, Ralph, but I double-checked. Their horse was scratched at Delaware Park. So let's go to Presque Isle Downs, race eight. The number six, Atrocious, is 5-2 in the morning line. This is a horse that cost $500,000. Christophe Clement trained the horse this winter. Two starts at Tampa, didn't get the job done. Has been transferred to Kevin Rice, who's akin to Linda Rice. But this is really a soft spot. So if this horse had any talent at all, this is a great spot to graduate. Let's go with the six, Atrocious, in race eight.
All right, eighth race at Presque Isle Downs today, number six in the eighth race at Presque Isle, Richie's pick. And Richie, we will talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, thanks, Ralph. Good luck, everybody.
All righty. We're coming back with John and Jerry. John Lendo's up next. Don't go away.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service. Bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All righty, back on the final segment of this Wednesday show as we start ramping it up to the weekend. We now go to John Lendo standing by in Southern California. And, John, good morning.
Ralph, how you doing today?
I'm doing fine, my man. You're recovering from Monday with Santa Anita's racing, and what a great day of racing it was. It kind of give you flashbacks of what used to be.
Fun playing the entire car didn't have to sit out too many races, and you know, it showed too in the final handle. Santa Anita was just under $16.5 million for the day, which is about 50% more than they've been doing on some of their Saturdays and Sundays. So you give the fans the right product, they will play.
Not even a question about that. Any performances on Monday that stood out to you?
Well, everybody's eyes were on Eagle's Flight, and I thought he ran super. Just when you consider. He had to learn an awful lot in that race. Yep. He didn't break, you know, right on top. He took the dirt in his face, didn't start climbing or anything, angled out. And when Flavien Prat asked him to go, he went. And he lugged in a little bit, but he got the job done. There was more left in the tank, and he galloped out well. So I would expect to see him go a little further next time.
You know, I think that Flavien Prat had a lot to do with that win and a lot to do with teaching this horse as much as you can for a first-time starter in a single race and still manage to win the race. He didn't panic with his, you know, his talents, etc. He just got him up into a position, he waited, and then got him into the clear, and the rest the horse did, that's for sure.
Yeah, guys like Pratt and Mike Smith have told me what you want with those first-timers to have a good experience so they feel good about themselves when they come back, and they definitely accomplished that.
Yeah, no question about that. And it was a race, a maiden race for 3 to 5-year-olds, and when asked earlier before the race, they asked the connections there why a late start with this. They say that the horses, they like to really get their horses mature before they start sending them into competition. It worked fine with Flightline, and for the early returns, it looks like it looked fine for Eagle's Flight as well.
Well, with a horse of that kind of breeding, Ralph, you're not going to rush because you know, all eyes are going to be on him. If he had run poorly yesterday, you know, so you want this horse to be ready to go to at least be representative. And luckily the connections, the ownership, you know, they gave John Sadler carte blanche. You run this horse when he's ready, not before. And that allows the horseman to be a horseman.
And a nice pick by you on Monday on the show with Johannes, who annexed the Shoemaker Mile in a very solid win, I thought. He got a 1-1 buyer and paid $640 Rispoli, having two of the three grade one wins on Monday.
Johannes is very good. He's just, you know, he's just getting back now to in his, he's had two starts off the layoff. We'll see maybe if they try the Eddie Reed down at Del Mar at 1 1/8 or if they go on the road, but either way, he is really representative of California wherever he goes. If he goes across the nation, he's a very good turf horse, Ralph.
And all I got to say, John, is we enjoyed very much Monday, and I hope that we don't get penalized that great racing on Monday with a lot of anemic cards coming up this weekend.
Well, you know, we saw the weekend before the Memorial Day was a little bit light, and I'm going to guess we'll probably be a little bit light this weekend. Mm-hmm. Whenever you pile all these big races together now in Southern California, it kind of saps the whole horse population. So I've got my fingers crossed. I would not be surprised if we're a little bit light this weekend. But, you know, whatever it is, we'll handicap it and get it out to the South Point. And one thing, too, I want to make sure you know, Mr. Fisk, he had that surgery yesterday for that condylar fracture. Everything went well.
Yeah.
He's back in his stall at Santa Anita. I don't know what the prognosis is for his racing career, but so far so good.
Yeah, it didn't look like a life-threatening injury at all, and that is always good news, that's for sure. Thanks for the update there, John. Quickly, Lindell report for the rest of the week. I'll let you go.
Got Churchill Downs tomorrow, Santa Anita over the weekend.
All right, you got it. Thanks a lot, John. We'll talk to you tomorrow, and thank you.
All right, good luck today.
All right, now we're going to go to Jerry Jackowitz standing by. Jerry kind of relaxing there in his domicile office there. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Ralph.
Well, what do you got for us today?
Well, you know, I get questions from people about how to play pick threes, pick fours, and pick sixes.
Yeah.
And they're all very different. But the pick three is trying to put three races together, and it's very seldom that when you handicap a card, you have three races in a row that you really understand the race and all of the horses in them. So, you know, maybe you out of every three races, there's one or none even that you understand. But let's say there is one. By just playing an exactor, you're actually playing something like a pick two or a daily double. And by playing a trifecta, you're playing a pick three. You know, there's three horses in the sequence. The odds multiply accordingly. And you're betting all that money and all that attention where you think you have the very best knowledge, as opposed to like, I really like this race. I think this horse is going to win, and I maybe I'll spread that race. So there's reasons to play daily doubles and pick threes, but they should really be after your main bet, which should be exactors or trifectas. I know this sort of sounds contrary to what average people think about, but a professional horse player understands the value of the exact and the trifecta. And when I say a professional horse player, I'm talking about someone who makes a living betting horses. So, you know, this is the greatest gift I can give to the players. And here's another example. In today's day and age, you have a situation where so much inside money comes in. Like, for example, I'll look at the power page and I'll see a horse I don't have a very good rating on. It's getting a lot of money. It's maybe 4-1 or 3-1 that I didn't have any feel for. Okay.
Okay.
And that horse immediately is going to get included in somehow into my play. But there may be a horse in the next race and the race after that that is getting a lot of inside money that I don't have a good feel for, that doesn't have a good rating. And I'll miss him completely if I were playing pick threes or daily doubles or pick threes, even pick fours. I just would miss them and lose the bet. Whereas now I have a chance to make that horse part of my play, or even make that horse my play if mm-hmm. I'm so inclined.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you bet, you know, you see money,
sure,
and
sure.
Money means something.
Sure.
So the idea of spreading yourself into races in the head because you think you're going to get a big payoff.
Right.
But you don't know what the heck you're doing, really. You think you do, but you really don't.
Okay.
It's not a big good idea, but you have an exacta, you have a trifecta, and you have all the information right in front of you. That's your best plan.
Fully understand. And we pushed it right to the limit again on the show. So, Jerry, another nice thought or two for gamblers to think about how they play the races. In the meantime, until tomorrow, you have one more thing to say, and you're going to say it.
Race day.
It's Ralph Serrato at Race Day Las Vegas, morning on 1400 KSHP North Las Vegas,
online
at KSHP.gov.